Last time on Idle Fantasy.
Glitched Teddy and Vatic, you are currently staring at the snorting, raging beast in front of you. What was, just a short while ago, Grunkles.
Would you boys please calm down for me?
By calm, do you mean kill?
I'm going to cast Vape Cloud. I figured if I'm on like a balcony, I can maybe see something. I could like tip over the edge or something into the cloud or like...
A sentient bookshelf that's trying to sing a song at you. Be up. I'm going to run in the direction of Grunkles and dive on the back of the beast.
What I would like to do is rush it.
What was that? That sounded awfully like a basilisk glass jaw. Tell me, is he safe?
I think that something possessed him.
You see on the floor a similar small round shape with feet.
And I drop Mora and I cast Catapult on the thing. Oh. That is 3 8s. I imagine not only does it explode, a god's fist just like hits it 100 times.
As if it had been there all along, standing next to his body is another one, an intellect devourer. As far as you're concerned, belongs to kind of story and myth.
I'm gonna run in a sort of circle around the back of it and then back towards Teddy, and I'm gonna shout, "Shield up, mate!" And then I'm gonna punt it.
Sick.
Towards him.
Yeah. I'd like to kind of backhand it.
Yes.
It's almost like I've deflected it.
Up to me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna whip out my hand and go, "Wapow!" And I'm gonna hit my thumb 6 times and fire 6 little chill touches at it.
In the middle of the room, everything's still apart from a skeleton on one leg.
Rad.
Step into my parlour, everyone. It's time for Idle Fantasy episode 21.
Oh,
get in my parlour, boys. Are you ready?
I love your parlour.
Paddy Jervis is in my parlour.
I'm in your parlour and I've brought snacks.
Oh, thanks, man. That's kind. Zach, what have you bought for the parlour party?
I think you've invited us into a parlour or some sort of thing before. Like a boudoir maybe before. It was.
You're not getting another invite, Zach, with that kind of attitude.
It's just, why do you keep inviting us into your sexy rooms?
Because he's a good host.
Yes.
He's got a lot of rooms.
I'm very hospitable. And there's a lot of me to go around.
Yeah.
Oh. I bought a bag of grain because I thought you said M-parlour.
Hello.
Hey.
Liam Welton's making it agricultural in the parlour.
Yeah, he always is.
Ibex-like.
What's an M-parlour?
Yeah, I knew that would happen if I laid that down.
Isn't it Impala as well?
Also, you knew that would happen, as in you knew it would be weird, or you knew I specifically wouldn't understand?
I knew that someone would call me out on it, and I'd be like, well, I don't know what one is.
It's like it's an African deer.
Like antelopes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like an antelope.
Well, big curly horns.
Or an ibex.
What you could see there as well, the rest of us were trying to guess. Laurie was in the corner with his fingers on his head, like trying to give us a clue.
Yeah. Also, I think he knows my brain, because that was the thing. I was like, oh yeah, of course, an impala. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think you're more of an ibex, because you've got the beard, though. That's why I said ibex,
yeah.
You could be an ibex.
Also, I have like coin-shaped eyes.
Yeah, yeah, and you're very skittish around predators.
Yeah.
Ibex are like more mountain rangy, whereas impala are more like plains.
Savannas.
They're sort of the dull ibex.
My housemates
can run faster and jump higher, but they're less sturdy on a rock, I guess. I don't.
My housemate said that I'm my spirit animal is a mountain goat, because I'm very sure-footed and get up to places, and I'm like, meh, you fucking do it. I'm up here, you can manage it. No, give no tips to other people.
That is so
Which mean. Friend said that to you? It's a fucking horrible thing to say.
Yeah, I know, but unfortunately it really resonated.
Yeah, this is the problem. Like, horrible things can often be like, oh, they're horrible because they're so accurate,
yeah.
You fucker. Are we all well in the parlour? Can I tend to your needs?
I'm much better than I was yesterday, and I'm delighted to be playing D&D.
Paddy almost wasn't allowed in the parlour because he was a poopy boy.
I had food poisoning, so I've been a barrel of laughs for the last 48 hours. But now I get to be with my friends.
I'm feeling really strung out. I feel like the weather's shitty, so like I don't feel like I've been properly dry in about 4 days.
Yeah. Zach, you had an odyssey yesterday which involved you being wet. And this still sounds filthy, being wet the entire day.
This has been such a sexy intro to this. Come into my parlour where I'm wet and Paddy's been shitting.
Wow, is that your idea of a sexy parlour?
No,
parlor?
It's absolutely not, but you for some reason keep bringing up a sexy tone to it.
I was about to try and make it less by being like, no, it's not been shitting, it's mainly been mouth stuff. But that doesn't
overclothes
mouth
help stuff.
At all. Jesus Christ.
I did have an odyssey yesterday and I was going to describe it by saying like, I had wet hair from like 9:30 in the morning until about 6:30 in the afternoon.
Oh man,
that was fun. But my odyssey was, it wasn't that sexy. It was just wet. It was damp out. London's been horrible, guys.
I really like
London's
you.
London's not been fun at all.
I'm not asking you to share your schedule with the listeners, but the lack of specificity again sounds a bit sexy. You're like, I was just wet from like, you know, the morning to the afternoon
because of rain, not jizz.
Oh, the wonderful way these boys' brains work.
How are you, Laurie?
Hey, I'm good. I'm great.
I'm glad you asked us how we were.
Yeah, I'm really glad because I now know much better how to pitch this. I've just put a big line through all of my notes with all the very serious role playing. But like, fine, back to the circus we go. The three of you boys are in the Necromancer's Tower, having dispatched off the wizard's beloved pet, Grunkles. Well, I mean, he knocks him out, at least. After he seemed to get a bit aggressive after an encounter with an intellect devourer, a weird little brain on legs, you three are trying to find the nameless wizard you encountered in the astral plane, in search of answers about what the heck happened to you when you fought that witch, Vandra, all those... Well, about a year ago, isn't it now, boys? In real time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. God, we've aged.
I thought it was... Real time, or D&D time?
As in real life time.
Real time,
not
okay, yeah.
Fake time.
Oh, Christ. I was like, wow, I thought Bollocks Deep was down the road.
Yeah, I thought we'd be going for like 2 weeks.
What?
Like, fucking hell.
How did I throw you with the phrase real time?
Yeah, I'm alarmed at you guys.
Well, no, because it wasn't that, I think this is reality. It was more just like, I assume that there were two types of time in... fantasy time.
And I'm just so in character.
Time, yeah. It's real time. Things move slower in the astral plane. I don't know.
It all bleeds together with me, Liam. I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah, I noticed you had a lot of cadavers in your room recently.
Glitch End. And Paddy Jervis.
I've started collecting fetuses in jars or whatever it was you gave me in my...
I mean, you definitely both got a vape, so...
Oh, yeah, that is true. I am become Glitch.
One and the same. So I guess the three of you are in this like very elaborate hallway leading up, you know, these round staircases that Glitch was lobbing urns from in the encounter past. And the three of you are there with Mora, the necromancer's valet and major domo. Well, actually, you've just got his head, I think.
Yeah, I think we should begin by rebuilding him. That would be the polite thing to do, right?
Yeah.
So we've got any glue.
That's like the thing he has.
Yeah. But I'm assuming that he's... I mean, he didn't need glue before, did he? Otherwise, how did he, like, move? If I glue Mora back together, he ain't moving.
Yeah, that's it. That's a very permanent fix,
isn't it?
Didn't
we have a super quick, I'm going to call it a subplot, a few episodes ago, where we were going to melt down a horse or a sheep or something? Like, I remember that happening, and I don't think we ever followed up on it.
No, it was that we bought a sheep, didn't we? We bought a sickly sheep off of the
And
shepherd.
We were going to melt it for glue.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna cook it. Is my memory.
Cook it. Why was it glue? Glue is something you've invented.
Oh, I just remember us having a long discussion about melting down someone, and could have been the cow, cow man.
Oh, I hope not.
I don't think we did.
I think we stole a bunch of horses and we had a plan to melt one of them to refill Liam's glue things.
So now,
when you say a plan, I think it might have been a throwaway comment. Yeah, you have now been like, that's what we're here for.
I think we made a joke about, oh, there's a horse that's spare. Why do we make it into glue? That was it. We were not having a long discussion.
I'm so
about
focused on the wrong things.
Different ways in which we should boil down a horse.
Well, Mora is, I think, at the moment tucked under Glitch's armpit. Mm. He says, can I
have my body back?
Yes. I suppose we should put it back together.
I'd like to do something to Grunkles. I do feel a bit bad about, like,
I think you've done enough.
No, it's about, I want to help him out.
You're going to teabag his corpse.
No, why? Even though I've used the phrase help him, you've gone with teabag and you've gone with have you done enough. I could fucking kill him. He's not going to pose a threat. I'm trying to grow.
Oh, nice. What are you going to do to him though?
I don't know. Heal lizard? How does that work?
It's a cantrip, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They took that out in fourth edition.
Because it was overused so much.
I think the one thing I would say is, like, because we attacked him, he's no longer charmed. So you would be resurrecting a mad.
I don't want to resurrect him like straight up. I don't think he would be that mad though, because we'd be the person that. Well, he was an intellect devout. I don't know how it works. I just wanted to make sure he doesn't die. Is my point.
He's at the moment. He is as in the way that player characters are. He is stable but knocked out. He's not gonna. He's not gonna die.
So he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think we should drag him back to his den.
I don't know. Maybe we should keep him with us as a hostage or a bargaining chip.
Have we swapped roles?
Oh, that would make the story even more confusing. If Laurie had thrown in, you and I ran into each other and switched.
Another body swap.
Exactly.
For us, very specifically, the players, people playing the characters.
Yeah, and Liam's now Angela Lansbury and we never mention it.
Well, I think give him a cuddle. Look after him. I'm gonna start rebuilding Mora if you want to go and look after Grunkles.
I was just concerned if he's going to die. If he's actually fine, then I'm also fine. I don't think we should drag him back to his den.
No, let's just leave him. He's probably stable.
Yeah. let's open this skeleton door. That's what I remember from last time.
As you look over to Grunkles, you can see he's kind of rolled over onto his back and his feet are just like twitching in the air and he's like...
Oh, he's asleep.
And he's not quite kind of like peacefully asleep, but he's definitely like conscious and breathing.
Mm.
And
good, okay. He's not dead.
He's not quite as cute as he once was, but he's still
pretty
cute.
Should we reattach his jaw?
You could relocate it. Is that what you call it when you undislocate something?
Yeah, relocate.
Relocate, yeah. I think you should do that to him and that's enough.
Relocate his jaw.
if that it were that simple. Animal handling check to relocate a basilisk jaw.
Oh my god, you're going to pull his jaw off.
Yeah.
Wait, can I just double check? If I do this and I do it badly, are you going to punish me by punishing Grunkles?
Who knows?
All right. I'm gonna use your dice tower.
Oh yeah, dice tower again. Do you want me to bring this closer? It's weirder.
That's
shit.
Oh, that's a two. That's two. The jaw stays very much further away from where it should be.
I think Zach's approach to relocating his own bones has been very much the one, two, three, right method. And you go to do that and Grunkles get hold of this like already quite mangled jaw and just go, and it just twists a good 90 degrees further than it should.
Oh god.
And you let it go and it just hangs even.
Alright, fine. I tried. It's fine. He's still
just
unconscious.
Put a napkin over it.
Yeah. I'm just going to pretend that was something that happened during the fight.
All right, I pick up Mora's arm and leg and I'm just wandering around trying to piece him back together.
I don't know if I want to make you roll on this.
You have to make him roll for that. I tried to help a defenseless animal and he's just fucking randomly putting body parts back together.
As you find out
if Mora's arse is on his head.
Vatic, you're good at building. Could you come and give me a hand with this as I'm sort of trying to jam an arm like vaguely into a pelvis or something?
And Mora's going, don't touch me there. That's not the right one.
Give me a sleight of hand with advantage if
okay.
Vatic's helping.
14 40. Plus 2, that's a 16. And with advantage, that is a 21.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you make a beautiful skeleton. In fact, he says, oh, as you push in his spine, kind of back into his pelvis to get the legs back in, and you straighten it up, and he's like, oh, I haven't felt so wonderful in years. And he starts cartwheeling around the
room. Amazing. I've given him a sort of shiatsu surprise.
Yeah. I like to think that you're doing all the work, and I'm just having a smoke, just kind of going, no, it's not that, that little eye, like that. I'm not doing it.
Not the eye.
Yeah, you're Irish now.
Yeah, you're Irish now.
Oh God!
I'd like to think what you're saying.
Accent anymore.
I just in there and Glitch has the arm bone like next to the eye socket, like Yeah? In yeah. here?
Yes.
I?
He's gradually pushing it further and further through his head. Like, this? Like...
Moira is reformed, and is you also get him miraculously back into his beautiful little black suit and tie. And
lovely. He got naked lovely. During the fight.
Well, he got, I mean, I bits we all of him did. Got naked.
Didn't we? Just me?
That was in real life, remember?
I sort of brushed him down, and I'm like, sorry about Grunkles, by the way. Do you think he's going to be all right? Is he one of those lizards that regenerates? Is he like a... Is he going to be fine?
He might be a bit loose jawed, but... Oh, and he kind of looks around and sees the fruit of Teddy's handiwork with him looking presumably quite shifty about it.
No. Not Sorry. Shifty at all. I tried to do a good thing. It didn't happen.
I think you thought it worked.
Because you made me roll a dice.
Does Candu have any guilt? Does Candu have any medical experience? Does Candu normally look after the basilisk? Maybe we can put him in.
No, Candu feeds it never so often, but no, it's the master's purview only.
I think it's going to be harder to feed it from now on, I'm just seeing.
Yeah, it's maybe a strong liquid diet.
Oh, we just tell the master that an urn fell on him and it was his fault.
An urn fell... Completely unassisted by anyone, did it?
Yeah, exactly.
This is not. It's not to worry. Not to worry. You did a good thing. A good thing.
Well, we saved him for you.
Yes, thank you.
We were gonna. Actually, never mind. Anyway, we want to get through. We want to go up and see the master now. Could we maybe?
Yes. Follow me. Follow me, young masters. Follow me.
And he goes up the long corridor where the fallen urn was. He looks slightly forlorn at the empty slot, but. Carries on walking and goes up to the depression in the wall next to the door.
And he says, now, this is something that only the master's more decayed minions can do. Watch this.
And he puts his hand out and it fits perfectly into that depression on the rock. And as he pushes in, the rock kind of seems to soften slightly and it oozes around his fingers before a light shines out from behind the panel. And this very big oak wooden door kind of splits. It's very strange. It looks like it's going to open like an old castle door. But in fact, it splits perfectly into half and like a Star Trek door.
Oh, cool.
Opens up.
Nice.
And you see ahead of you a carpeted hallway leading up with lit by glowing rocks.
What's through that door? And I point at the other one on the other side.
I'm afraid it's the same. It's just master likes symmetry.
Actually, that's fair. All right. I guess I'll trust you this time, Maura.
Is that actually the answer? Is that like a real
thing?
Well,
yeah, I mean, like, if it's like Titanic staircases, it'll go up and reconnect somewhere, won't it?
That's fucking incredible.
Yeah. I just wanted to spin, I particularly spin Paddy out. I knew it would.
You knew that I'd have to check both jobs.
I quite love how that's your brain works. I was like, cool. Let's go down the corridor. Let's just move down the corridor.
You have not done nearly enough side quests in 90s RPGs.
No, that is true, actually. Watching you play fucking The Witcher was painful.
You've got to check every corridor. If the plot advances, you've done it wrong.
That explains a lot of this pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Should we head on up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm involved.
Let's trot on.
You walk up and it's similarly plushly carpeted, this hallway. There are glowing rocks in the walls, as I mentioned, that are lighting it up. They're kind of bright white lights shining out of it, but it's still got that slightly creepy aesthetic. Creepy castle aesthetic. And you eventually meet the other end of the hallway coming from the other side of the tower. And the path swings around to your left to reveal a dimly lit library festooned with endless shelves of books. Most are encircled with brass rails upon which several ladders are mounted, and at the far side of the room there's what looks like an office with a writing desk and several papers, and in the middle of the room is a wrought iron spiral staircase leading up. What do you want to do?
I have a question about sort of the decor of this place.
Oh, yes.
I think this is sort of to everyone, as this is amusing as opposed to me directly asking more. When one's a necromancer, do you think you make somewhere that's creepy and sort of uninviting, or do you think it gets creepier as you become creepy?
Will you tell us, mate?
Yeah, just to
I'm
point
sort
out,
of wondering
we found
about
you...
my future.
Like, no, I mean... we found you in a bloody crypt. You're already there.
Yeah, that's the thing, but do you reckon you sort of, as you get more into this stuff, your tastes change? Or do you think the environment makes you weird?
I feel this is not the time for an existential crisis.
It's always the time for an
existential crisis. I feel we have a thing to do.
I would love Mora to say, well, in fact, it's an interesting story. The master constructed this in the typical Falsterian style of the last century.
Oh, it's Falsterian.
And then, of course, with the renaissance of brass, really, really, when Dad starts walking around and pointing out things.
Oh, Mora, I'm bored. And I walk off into the library.
Out of character, just between this is us three, as we're gonna go into this. We've made quite a drastic like fuck up of this guy's house. We've killed his pet.
Yeah,
we hurt his pet. We've convinced his dog's body that we're his best mates.
Yes, we have done that.
I think we might be beyond lying at this point.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Are we just gonna front this up?
We haven't yet. Well, no, we haven't yet had the conversation of when we actually get to him. What do we? Are we? Oh,
that's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah, I think you're like right. Close, like, are we gonna kill him? Are we gonna
talk?
No.
I'm hoping he'll recognize
you.
Me. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He helped, Liam helped him out. Votic helped him out.
Of course. All right. Good. That's a good in point.
And did he say something like
see you at Bollocks Deep?
Like come and see me or something. Do you remember that?
No. No. There was no invitation.
Do you remember that?
This is a gate crash.
If you remember that encounter between Liam and the wizard, Vatic was very unenthusiastic about it. Because you were having a little chinwag with Hess, and then he showed up and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And you helped him out, and he was very much like, oh, where are you from? And what do you do? And you were like, go away. Go home.
I'm so bored of this. Okay, right. So, cool. So
cool. I just wanted to check before we...
So that's our play.
Yeah.
But we also want to somehow... get like convince him that the four coins are somehow here to like fuck him up or something, because we were like we still want to win this and we want to humiliate
them. We also need
them.
To work out why the town is dead.
That's what we're doing. We're finding out why the town is dead, so you probably can just tell us. I don't think we need to worry about the four coins, like they're not really a threat at the moment.
They're on the
other side of a giant like causeway.
Yeah.
Not a giant's causeway, but a giant causeway.
Desperately stepping over hexagonal stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But they're over there in the town with a banshee.
Probs.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the banshee.
So I feel like we've done enough to them. Didn't we also take their horses as well? So
they had to walk. That's very fair. They might be tired, but I mean, my main goal at the moment is humiliate them. Like that's what I want to do.
Well,
I want to win.
Let's do that. Well, yeah. So winning is finding out what's happened to Bollocks Deep.
Well, I think the first step in that is kind of we obviously need to speak to the master, but also like let's go through his shit. So can I investigate?
She's just gonna go through.
Can I investigate the?
Moore's right there.
I know. Can I investigate his desk, like the papers on the desk?
Yeah, sure. As you approach the desk, it appears to you to be a kind of proper writing desk. It's lots of little drawers and little nooks, but there are a few things that really take your attention. There's a large heliograph, which calls out to you. There are three letters in text that is legible to you that are on the desk in various places, and there's also a kind of a note which jumps out to your eyes.
Oh, the note.
Mate, if you're going to start doing it, shouldn't one of us like distract Mora or something? I feel like we're being led through this room to the master. Do we need to keep him there?
Isn't Mora just walking around talking about
At the moment, Mora is giving a guided talk.
He's telling us about the architecture.
And then to help out Liam, I'm following Mora, kind of nodding.
Strap in for 15 minutes of the best role play you've ever had. I'm not going to make you go through that. Mora is honestly just chatting rubbish to you. We'll come back to you in a second.
I'm throwing all of my charisma and performance into how desperately interesting I find this.
Okay, actually, well, as Mora is telling you about the fine Rococo plaster work in the upper halls, you'll see later.
Scratching chins, nodding.
Give me a performance check then. See how convincing it is feigned interest.
That's 19 plus 4, so 23.
Fantastic. Man. Okay, with that in mind, the other two have complete free reign on this floor to do what they like.
Sick.
With that.
All right. Nice. Do not waste this. I'm looking at you, actually, Paddy. Liam's already got quite a good plan. I'm saying if he finds information, you walk around and set fire to something.
I think I'd probably start looking at the books, I guess. If you're going to the desk, I'm looking at the shelves.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Okay, we'll do...
Ooh, and one of you keep an eye out for some sort of... you know, weaponry, because like, you know, you guys have got magic and shit. And I'd
yeah, yeah.
I'd like to be able to hit something different.
We'll go to you, Liam, first. All right. Okay, so the note is a simple note, and it's one that calls out to you because you notice a few alchemical ingredients listed upon it.
Okay.
It literally just has, in a scrawled hand, it says, "Spooky potion." And it says, "Very useful for slowing down the undead." Give me a... just an intelligence check to see if you can make head or tails of it.
All right. That's 15.
Yeah, easily. It's definitely within your wheelhouse. And this is a recipe of how to brew a potion of Chill Touch. And so you can now, at will, cast the cantrip Chill Touch, if you like.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
So that cantrip Chill Touch is one that Glitch already has.
Yeah.
It's a ghostly skeletal hand. I guess that would look slightly different in a potion. Does a little bit of necrotic damage, but is also very useful for making undead slightly crap in close combat. Mm-hmm. And they're rolling at disadvantage. And yes, these three letters. One is written, it's half written. It's clearly been abandoned halfway through. It's in the middle of the writing desk. You see a quill pen completely dried out, abandoned next to it. The paper is brown and curled. There's a little bit of mildew spotted along one edge, and it is addressed to an F. Hoyle.
shit.
Dun, 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 dun.
Motherfucker!
There's another note.
Wait. Who is that?
The astromancer we've rescued. Hoyle.
Fed. Oh, yeah, so I thought you just said F.
Yorkshire, old, rescued him.
No, yeah, I remember the character Fed. I think it's like its second name.
And there's also a one scrawled in much kind of quicker hand, addressed to a Mr. Glitch of the Veld Graveyard.
Oh, fuck, that's me.
And finally, sitting Who's inside...
Wait, young, awesome, you hang out with him.
And also written in a different hand to the other two, sat in an envelope that's been torn open, is a note just addressed to a dear sir. And I will, here are the letters, Liam, or actually all three of you, if you want to do, let's do some collaborative work now.
I'll
let's workshop it.
Shall I read the Fed one?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
It's, the other two of you characters, your characters, paying any attention to this?
Can we?
Oh, that's a good point.
Let's do this for the listener, but for the purpose of, you know, like not confusing them, like they haven't found the letters and just randomly started reading them out loud while I'm distracting the guy that we need to distract.
Well, what I might do actually, I think I probably, if I saw the one addressed to you, I think Vatic isn't the sort of person who would read it.
No,
he wouldn't read other people's posts.
So
one of the first things you did as Vatic was break into someone's bedroom in a tavern and read their post. Like, that was literally
that is true.
Your go-to
that is the
thing,
literal.
I'm going to read their letters.
Yeah, that's my defining what you wanted to do.
Exactly. Post dick.
But I think what I so I kind of go, kind of subtly to get your attention, Glitch.
Yeah.
And I just like pass off one letter to you.
Well, I tell you what, look, read it out so Zach. Me yeah. knows what's going on.
All right.
But like you, obviously you two keep this sturm and then you can fill in Teddy later on.
Yeah, so lovely.
The one written to Fed goes, "Dear Federic, so good to hear from you. How long ago..."
That is so funny.
"So good to hear from you. How long ago those days at Arkeen Collegiate seem? Why, do you remember..." Did you deliberately write these with fucking impossible to pronounce names?
Dalrymple.
Dalrymple.
Do you remember Dalrymple?
Did you also mean Arkane? As well.
Arkane Collegiate.
Arkane Collegiate, okay.
Do you remember Dalrymple, the awful hag, and the way we used to pull down the trousers of our class fellows? A beastly practice, but one I miss every so often. Anyway, God. Fed sounds like a dick.
Yeah, is Fed a public school bully?
Yeah, clearly. He's clearly a public school twat. Anyway, would love to catch up soon. I shall be coming to Veld next year to see the coronation of King Uther. Hopefully he can clean up that blasted town before it gets too unseemly. As for your new master, who is he, by the way? I didn't know that Veld had any dukes to call its own.
Rumbled.
Yeah.
We've rumbled him.
And his request. And his
he
request.
He told us that face to face.
I was like, a clue. Oh no, hang on.
What the fuck?
Sorry, Liam.
And his request. I could only advise that transferring mind to a new bodily vessel would be extremely risky. but here are my professional recommendations. The freshness of the vessel seems to help. My more bony helpers here are simple folk, whereas the more complete require careful marrying of soul to body.
And that's where the letter ends, really half-written.
Ooh. Shit.
So does that imply then that, like, did they set us up? No.
I mean,
ooh.
Also, Dalrymple.
The plot is,
what are we
going to
do about Dalrymple?
yeah, what are we going to do about Dalrymple?
Can I ask a question? Would we know when the coronation of King Uther was?
Give me a history check.
Okay.
I mean, I know.
Or
this
would,
is...
would Liam have to do that?
No, you do. You do. I mean, I think the two of you. We've already established.
Yeah,
the
you
two
guys
of you
are canoodling and
are sharing
and
these letters.
Plus six on this. Canoodling? Oh, that is a nat 20 plus six, 26.
Yeah. So you were there.
Oh God, I'm I am King Uther. I am Uther. I wrote the book.
You remember it like it were yesterday.
Oh, I wrote this letter. Sorry.
Uther Caer Leon was the, well, widely known to be the final king of the Falster Island, this big main island where Veld is located. You, Glitch, I think will jump to his name because he is the father of Arctur.
Arctur, who we kidnapped, I was about to say in a flashback, but no, in our real lives.
Yeah. In your former lives, you kidnapped her as a favour to the Duke in order to get...
But we released her, we put her on a ship.
Oh, okay, cool.
We were nice, and we didn't... this is good.
And the coronation of King Uther took place at least 10 or 11 years ago. Mm. About the same time you heard rumours of this town being kind of abandoned and haunted.
Okay, well,
that's nice. Similar timescale.
This letter has been sat there for
also,
a long-ass time.
Uther Caer Leon as well, that's a strong combination of what I imagine is like a Saxon name and then a character from an Arthurian legend.
It's all Arthurian.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I love that.
All nicked.
Nice, super rad.
What else can I tell you? I'm trying to think. With a natty 20, you get lots from that. And you remember their symbol is that, what was it? A silver chalice on a blue background.
Yeah.
What you saw at the Tower of Burr when you first fought Vandra. And you know that it's, the family she overthrew when she took over Veld.
Oh, sweet.
So we did the Duke a favor. We got hold of his daughter, Caer Leon's daughter, kidnapped her, but we let her go because we didn't want to kill her.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, Fed has been in conversation with this necromancer about how to swap consciousness between two vessels.
Yeah.
Very close to the period of time that we ended up with our bodies swapped between.
Well, not very,
not connected,
not very close
but they're
like,
all very, they're all a bit conspiracy.
Yeah. And we know from previous heliographs that the Duke and Vandra had some kind of connection. So
yeah.
It sounds like this guy taught Fed how to do it and maybe
something
Fed
like that. Or maybe
the
Vandra.
Duke and Duke gave it to Vandra and Vandra then used it on us.
Well, I mean, it might not be that step by step, because she also used the ring as well. She had like a particular spell called Wish.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas he's doing it from a necromancy point of view, but maybe, I don't know, maybe the Duke saw what Vandra did and was like, that looks sick.
Maybe this is where they worked out how it all happened. Yeah. Maybe all of these dudes are like failed mind swap experiments or something like that. Like,
that's fucking rude to say of Mora.
luckily, Mora's saying, and yes, I did personally pick out the carpet. Thank you for noticing, young
and
man.
And Teddy's like, hey, you know what? That's absolutely, the thread count is by far one of the highest I've seen. I love that.
Do you know what
texture.
I like?
I love the stitching's absolutely beautiful.
Sometimes I like to run my cheek along it.
Now, what about this brickwork up here? The lattice work is fantastic.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
It's a short crust wall.
Baked to perfection.
That is a term that is used in architecture. It is not just because you watch Bake Off. Like, you have lattice work when you make a church.
I know.
Stuff like that.
I know. Don't you worry about me, Zachary. I've got a head screwed on.
What's your letter say?
Absolutely. I should read mine out. Okay, one written to a Mr. Glitch of Veld Graveyard. Okay, I think Glitch is sort of was very just idly opened it up and just loves anything with his name on it. So immediately starts reading. Mr. Glitch, please find attached payment for most recent shipment of body parts. Do send my fondest regards to Senior Dampay. I hope his wife is well. With thanks for your professional discretion in such matters, your fellow necromancer.
And then a kind of squiggly scrawl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is completely indecipherable.
Oh my god. What a revelation. Dampe is Spanish.
Dampe. Señor Dampe, which I like. Señor Dampe. I love that like everything associated with your character's backstory is fucked in some way, but none more so than that your literal name is Mr. Glitch. What the fuck?
I also think Liam is so bang on. I think Glitch would have read that letter and gone, oh my god, he was Spanish. I should have known that, you know.
All those jokes I made, which were insensitive.
Yeah, exactly. All that Dutch I've been speaking at him, just, and he's been giving me nothing.
See, I think the bigger mystery here is I've now resolved to find out what your first name is.
Mr. Glitch. Oh, yeah. Or maybe I just or go. Maybe you, I'm like Prince.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly. Just, that's what I'm saying. In which case, like, both of them are hilarious and both great.
You know, also, if you were someone who supplied corpses to people, I think I'd use a
pseudonym.
Yeah, pseudonym. Yeah.
But you've not. You've called yourself, hello, I'm Mr. Glitch. I provide the. Actually, you should be Spanish. I provide the bodies.
Okay, so
I work with Señor Dampe.
Okay, so I've been giving. Oh, this. I mean, it's all fucking coming together now, isn't it, fucking lads? This is. So
I don't think it is.
I've been sending corpses to Bollocks Deep so that they can be maybe mind transferred. That's all gone wrong, so that they could tell that guy, so that guy could eventually fucking do it on us. And then the sick irony of it being the guy giving the corpses who's had his head fucked by it.
I love the theory. I love the
passion.
The kind of passion. Yeah. I think you've made a couple of leaps of logic.
Yeah.
But. Well, we're there. We're getting closer to. We're sniffing out the mysteries.
I'll tell you who might actually be worse. Caught.
We're Colleen Rooney right now.
Yeah.
That's what we fucking are doing right now. Sleuthing the shit out of this. Let's set up some sort of trap. Yeah. Entrapment.
Oh, fucking all right then.
I'll tell you who might be worth calling in at this point.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, shit.
I'm thinking more Goosebusters.
Here we go.
Oh!
Post-Goose?
Yeah.
Arrive.
Oh, is that your post-Goose Spanish? Did I imagine that?
No, post-Goose is whatever voice Loz chooses each time.
Post-Goose is hello.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Post-Goose is... A dialed down Kenneth Williams.
Yeah. Kind of derisive though as well. Like,
oh yes, he hates you.
Yeah, I know he does. Because he tells us all the time.
Summon Post-Goose.
Post-Goose appears with a small tropical drink with an umbrella in his goosely hand.
And I knock it out of his hand. Like, Dampe is Spanish?
Well, yes, well, he goes by Señor, yes, what do you want?
I was making all of those jokes in Dutch.
It was very funny to me, Glitch, you must understand.
Oh, God,
I'm not there to tell you what to do, I'm just your humble servant.
Oh, God, but look, next time you tell me whenever I'm making jokes in the wrong language, okay?
Yes, why, well, of course. Anyway, did you fight that banshee?
No, oh Christ, forgot about that. No, but
oh, I sat in that cupboard and had to watch that.
No, you were marvelous. Yeah, the trap went off without a hit. It's actually, we heard it scream from a long way off.
Oh,
We think it caught the baddies. So we're
definitely the baddies, mate.
Are we the baddies?
We're not the baddies.
I assume it's never going to catch up with us, but thank you so much for all of your hard work. I see you were enjoying a holiday, and I gently mage hand the drink back up to him. I'm very sorry about that. I got very emotional.
He snatches it in one hand and says, honestly, the work I do for you, Glitch, the shit you make me do is the least I would take.
Now I have a request of you.
Oh yes, here we go. And he throws the glass over his shoulder. What is it now?
There's a carbonara in it for you. This place, this is Bollocks Deep.
Yes.
Do you remember, I forget with all of my admin these days, but do you remember any dealings I used to have with Bollocks Deep?
Well, yes, you used to provide this with body parts from the graveyard. I don't know why the emphasis is so strange.
Yeah, you're presenting the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah. Were they one of my sort of main clients, shall we say?
Yes, it was them, the Temple of Sirik, and I think that was about it.
Have I been here before? Or did I used to just send them? Did I used to get Dampe to send them? I forget, because I travel...
Señor Dampe.
A lot? Señor Dampe.
I don't think you do travel a lot, Glitch. You tend to keep to yourself.
Yes, that is true. So I never did come here. Sorry, I might have been a false memory. But, did I used to... Look at this letter. And I'd show the letter. I remember that bump on the head I told you about. It's playing all kinds of gubbins with me. But
why are we so concerned what your phantom servant thinks of us?
Do you remember this guy? And I'd show him the letter.
Oh, what? As in, are you asking if you recognise the...
who wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the Necromancer, but I don't think we know his name. Yeah, I'm just wondering if maybe with dealings, I wouldn't be calling him the Master. Maybe we have a chance to find out his real name at this point.
Oh, I see.
So we're going to go into this room. You're going to know exactly who he is. He's going to know who you are. Yeah. And you're just going to be with me.
Well, mate, we don't know. There's still one letter left to read.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Could be. That would be.
Dear, almost Teddy. Dear son.
I love that you are my son.
It'd be almost like we're telling a story with narrative.
Don't forget the secret switch I put under your left nipple will transform you into Mecha Teddy.
Oh, lovely Mecha Teddy. That'd be the end of this podcast, though. I just waste everything. Yeah,
yeah. Post-Goose casts his shadowy snout over this note and says, no, I recognize this handwriting. I know you did a lot of dealings with this man, but I don't remember any names. No, the Necromancer, I believe.
I can't remember his name either. It's going to be really embarrassing. I just thought I'd check with you because you're very smart.
Can you check Facebook?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Have you tried LinkedIn?
Anyone else got any questions for Post Goose while he's here? I mean, we seem to catch him once every couple of weeks now. Anyone need anything?
Well, I can't. I'm talking to Maura, isn't it?
You can keep him around, remember? He's your...
Yeah, he's your familiar.
Familiar.
In fact, make him keep... I don't like the fact that he's out there fucking having cocktails and on a beach somewhere while we're doing all the work. He's literally the servant.
Oh, that's fair. All right. Postcus, would you mind just having a little snoop around here just whilst we're snooping too? Just for a little extra pair of paws?
What do you want him to do? Because you can't just be like, go and find interesting stuff.
Yeah. Does anyone have any ideas? I just thought it'd be fun.
No, but you might as well. You can keep him around and just wait.
Yeah, I think we keep him around. Yeah.
Remember, he can do like simple manual things.
Oh, okay, I've got it. All right, okay.
I don't know why, but I'm picturing Post Goose this time round looking exactly like Alf. I don't know why.
Yes. He's currently in spooky ghost form.
Okay, Alf.
Yeah.
I've literally always pictured a goose.
Yeah. Okay.
Like an actual... Just a black goose with a dumb, like, I don't know, maybe a hat.
Oh, he's always got a hat. Yeah. He's definitely always got some kind of fun hat.
Do you know what? Since Untitled Goose Game came out, he could well do that kind of goose. That very, very two-dimensional kind of shadowy goose.
That's exactly what I've pictured the whole time.
Hat, that is lovely.
Because at some point you've had
a little mail
dog,
bag, mate, like a satchel.
Wait. Let's remember, he's not called Post Goose because he delivers the post.
Isn't
it's because he used to be a goose.
I don't know. I think he's becoming more and more of a postman in my head as well.
as you're
anthropomorphic
thinking
ghost
this,
boost.
The little hat appears in his head, a little satchel appears by his side. He's like, Master, what's going on?
I'm trying something, okay? Bear with me. Would you mind just having a look, just because there are a lot of books here and I've got quite a lot of stuff to do at the moment. Do you want to see if there's anything useful on necromancy? I mean, I'm getting better at magic, you know. I'm just wondering, you know, if there's anything we could rob or anything like that. There might be something useful for a new spell.
Yes, I'll just do your lazy work for you, Glitch.
Or a cookbook.
Right, cook or necromancy.
Yep, absolutely.
Righto.
Great, see you in a bit.
He heads off.
You deserve for him to get you a useless cookbook.
I pocket my letter.
Okay, there is one letter left.
Okay. Who's reading this one?
I mean, I can give it a read.
Yeah. Do you want to read one for fun?
All right, I'll read it.
Now, this one is signed from Wanda, so if you could kind of channel Wanda for me.
Wanda.
Mm-hmm. You don't know who that is, I'm just saying. Just imagine who
Just
Wanda.
Me, you'd like me to channel Wanda.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't think of what to do now. In my
Dearest head, Tattoo!
No, in my head's like, hey, y'all. Dear sir. Thank you for the letter and annual contribution to the Collegiate Pension Fund.
I love this.
Your support is much appreciated, and your presence always welcomed at any faculty events. As per your academic inquiries, the nature of reconnecting body and mind, or soul, depending on your religious leaning, is of constant interest. Our own subjects here are largely happy and prosperous despite their bodily degradation. Fucking hell.
I just realized what I'm reading.
Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy.
However, at times it has proved difficult to unite the original mind with the body upon recollection from the astral plane. And this leads to difficulties. Intrusive memories that bleed from one consciousness to the other, a general weakening of the bodily strength, the intrusion of extraplanar beings, sometimes lasting psychological damage. Your inquiry into five and their apparent merits is, academically speaking, without merit, however. Yours sincerely, Wanda, Collegiate Secretary. Wanda's very frank and kind of a dick. So it's also really sarcastic. Your inquiry into the five and their apparent merits is, academically speaking, without merit, however.
What's the five, do you reckon?
Us? I don't know.
Well, use your maths.
Nah, but we don't know if there were another two. There might be a five that's like a more kind of general term. It's like, oh, the five is made up of those three and then also those two.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Zach, because I'd like to introduce our two new players.
No, I don't really know what the five. The five might pertain to some sort of like, I'm thinking more rather than people. It could be like maybe there are five things that allow this magic to happen.
Mm. Oh, that's a cool idea.
Like,
yeah.
The five is a theory that he's got in his head, like the five will allow us to move body and soul. But she's like, no, academically speaking, we've been doing this and it's not been working for this reason. It can have these problems.
That would be rad. I hope it's that.
Do you? I mean,
so I kind of think the thing that's going to jump out to me while reading this is all of the shit about a body re-enter, like trying to, like a spirit trying to re-enter a body from the astral plane.
Mm. Well,
thrown to a bunch of like dangerous shit.
Are we not also concerned by the fact that everything that Wanda described was happening to us all the fucking time?
Yeah. Lasting psychological damage sounds like something I'm already on top of. The intrusion of extra planar beings.
Yeah.
That wiggled my jimmies just a bit there.
Well, also the consciousness beating over from one to the other. Well,
we've experienced that. We know that that's going on, don't we?
I seem to be getting stronger with more levels, though, rather than physically degradating.
We call this leveling up.
Yeah, I also quite like the fact that I've now committed Laurie to all of the academic... The Arcane Collegiate is now apparently in Texas.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's fucking great.
Arcane Collegiate and Cattle Wrangling Center.
Did Wanda know Jarnell?
Maybe John L. was a lecturer at Emeritus.
All right, we found out a lot of information there. Teddy has
that.
Sorry, that was a dump. That was a dump, boys.
No, but that was a useful dump, I think.
The final thing you see on this desk, Liam, before we come back to the other two of you and your activities,
the heliograph.
The heliograph. Fotic, you recognize one of these figures to be the Wizard of the Tower. If a much younger man in this picture, without the bug eyes you remember him with, or the wiry silver hair, or the kind of astral shimmeriness. He stood next to an ancient-looking elven woman, shorter than average and with a button nose. And it is signed by a Professor K. Data, who looks much like an ancient scholar. She's wearing scholarly robes. And it's signed by her. And it says...
Hey, boo.
Hey, boo. and it says, remember, matters, physic, and psychic, spelt very arcanely, are possible to be made Clefton. And then signed Professor K. Data.
Clefton?
Split.
Oh, thank you. That's just
it's meant to be very oldie worldy.
No, I think
that's not an often used word.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing.
Like Clefton Twain.
Yeah, cleft. Let you cleft into.
Okay.
Matters, physic, and psychic.
Matters, physic, and psychic are possible to be made Clefton.
So you can separate the psychic and the... So you literally body and soul. You've gone all day, Carl, on it.
Well, well, Liam Welton, it's the middle plane of the podcast.
My favourite plane.
The best plane.
The plane without those other two.
Yeah, I know. And it's just so much more roomy in here, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah. They take up not physically a lot of space, but emotionally a lot of space.
Belaboured emotion. How you doing, man? It's nice to have you back here. I've done a couple of these on my own recently because we've been all kind of scattered to the four winds.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's nice. Nice to be back in... In this little isolation chamber you've created for yourself.
Yeah, it's my little echo chamber. That'll work, sure. But I've seen you mostly, or rather not seen you, in the virtual world recently, because we discovered Classic WoW.
Bum, ba, dum, bum, ba, dum, bum, ba, bum. Yeah, we've been returning to WoW Classic.
It's been so good.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good fun. Like, it's not very respectful of your time.
Oh, God, no.
Like, that's definitely the first thing I remembered, was like, oh, yeah. But it's got, like, the loop's just great. Like, it's, like, feels really satisfying. Like, it's definitely got that kind of like, just one more quest.
Yeah, which the new one seems to have really, you know, the later expansions and updates seem to have really missed out on.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you can just pop in for half an hour and do a lot. Whereas in the older game, you have to put in some commitment, but you're right. It's always, oh, it's so good at keeping you hooked on.
Yeah, yeah. Done my first Dead Mines run.
Hello. How was Captain Smite?
Oh, he effed us up. Well, I'm playing. This is my first time ever as a pally, and I'm going for a healer pally.
Oh,
which, like, I was level 18 when I did that, and they do not have the wherewithal, and I didn't have any of the gear, and had a very, very understanding party who were just like, when we got like top, we got wiped. Completely wiped like four times. Every time I'm like, sorry, definitely my fault. But they're very understanding.
That's the other thing as well. A lot of people playing it are rediscovering their youth, or I don't know, they generally seem a bit more patient and understanding and much more there for the fun of the camaraderie of it rather than
definitely.
Speed through it, get the loot, get out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Players are today. Oh, it's really good to be playing. We're playing on the Paddy's also playing on our server. We still haven't convinced Zach, but I don't think we ever will, actually. I think D&D is Zach's limit.
It's one step beyond.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you want to shout about? Or can we tell those good folks how to find out more Idle Fantasy stuff?
Yeah, yeah. No, let's just jump straight in. And you got to go head over to wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes or wherever it is, and download Idle Fantasy and leave us a rating or review. They are very, very useful.
Please do.
And tell a friend. Like,
yeah.
If you like it, tell a friend that you like, and if you don't like it, tell a friend you don't like.
I like that.
As long as we get, you know, we get listeners, doesn't matter to us.
We'll take angry listens.
Yeah.
They're listens all the same. Yeah, that's true.
You can go to idlefantasy.com and you can listen to our archive episodes there, and you can find out, you see our character sheets, find out all of our stuff there. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Idle Fantasy Pod.
Oh, yes.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, and I'm delightfully happy.
Are you having a Twitter holiday?
That's it, it's gone.
Twitter exile.
Yeah, yeah, wow. That's it. I've just gone now.
I bet your life is so much freer and fuller and...
Oh, it's amazing. It's so good. But you shouldn't leave. You should stay on Twitter and you should follow our account.
In fact, a good method would be to ignore everyone else on Twitter and only follow us because we only post nice stuff.
Yeah, that is actually true.
And we also post very infrequently, so we won't take up much of your time.
Yeah, yeah, we're very respectful tweeters. we're also on Instagram, same address, Idle Fantasy Pod. And there's lots of nice stuff there, lots of photos behind the scenes. You can see our dice tower.
Yes, as has been shown off in recent episodes.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch, you can obviously do that via Twitter or the website, but you can also message us directly at idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please do. We've had a couple of emails. It's always really nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hate mail as well, accepted.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, obviously we record this thing and we have a lot of fun recording it, but it's really nice to hear that people enjoy it. Like, yeah. It's like, and I know that that's not the first thing people immediately think when they enjoy something is, I must get in touch. People only ever do that when they're complaining. But yeah, do if you're enjoying it. Messages, like, it really, really, like, you know, makes us feel good to hear that.
It builds us up, Buttercup.
Yeah. And our next episode, correct me if I'm wrong, this is November the 1st.
It is Fantasy Freaky Friday, November the 1st. It'll be particularly freaky because it's the night, of course, after Halloween. And it's quite a... It will be quite a spooky one, I think.
And it's four nights before we tried to bomb Parliament!
No, even scarier!
Why didn't we succeed?
The respecter of republicanism! Yeah, I think it's actually quite... we've been doing this art for a while, but it's quite an appropriately spooky spooky episode.
Yeah, this one, a film of britches on this last episode.
Ooh, yeah. We'll find out more then. I've always been lovely to see you, mate.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now. And welcome back to Lettercasts, your favourite Dungeons & Dragons letters podcast, where we read out letters written by NPCs. That's what we are now, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Young Teddy and young Glitch are poking around the rest of the Master's Library.
I'm not.
Well, you are, but just with a guide. With a...
Yeah, I get it. I'm not really... Am I able to poke around and look, like, pick stuff up?
I think you can cast your eye over the bookshelves if you'd like to.
I would like to. Like
Yeah, let's do... Let's do you first, yes, Teddy. So roll A for me, just a straight D20 with a intelligence plus. So not necessarily investigation.
Well, that's not a plus there is it? It's just a straight D20.
Sweet, that works for me.
And that's a 17.
A 17, okay. As Maura's leading you around, your eyes are drawn to a book on the shelf. Which is titled, now get this for meta, Volo's Guide to Monsters, sat on the shelf.
Sick.
And as you look at it, Maura kind of realizes you're not following. Yes, yes, oh yes, young man, what's taken your fancy?
This book here seems particularly pertinent to my line of work. I was just wondering, could I have a leaf through? Maybe,
yes.
Maybe borrow it for a time?
Oh, it's one of Master's favourites.
I bet it is. He keeps a monster, so I imagine he's probably quite au fait with that. But I'd just maybe to take a little look.
Yeah, give him a persuasion check to see what he's going to let you do.
What's my persuasion? All right, cool.
It's a good one.
Oh, I just rolled the fucking 17, so this is going to get me right back.
You've rolled all right though since we got the dice tower. Look at that, that's another 17.
That's a 21.
Oh my god, it's a weighted dice tower.
21.
Right, he said, Maura says, oh, well, you are such a devotee of the architecture and the upkeep of this place. Why, it would only be pertinent to let you borrow it.
Oh, Maura, you are far too kind. You've been very good to us. Very, very good to us. And I count you a dear, dear friend.
Oh, you, if he had any...
I stroke his... I try and pat his head.
If he had any capillaries, flesh, or heartbeat, he would be blushing right now. And he hands you over this...
I can tell.
This tome. This book is a leather-bound thing. It's very kind of beautifully made, and it is signed in very ornate golden text by Volothamp Gedarm, who you recognize as one of the leading authors of the... what are known as the Forgotten Realms, i.e. the mainland. You guys live on these isles of...
Strail.
The Strail, thank you. You guys live on the Strail Islands, which is a set of islands way off the coast of like main D&D land.
All right, cool.
And this guy is one of the most famous authors of D&D land. He's famous for writing quite informatively about people and places and monsters. He's also famous for lying a lot. And this book is a guide to monsters that he has encountered. And the way it works is, if you want to read it, if you find a monster, you want to consult your book about the monster.
Yeah.
Tell me if you want to look at the book. I'll roll a d20. I won't tell you what it lands on. If it's above an 11, you'll get an accurate information about the monster. And if it's a 10 or below, you'll get inaccurate information about the monster.
Interesting. That's super awesome. That's really cool.
I hope the inaccurate one is just an accurate description, but at the end it's like, and I beat it up with my big, big muscles. Whoa, Volo wins again. And then like the drawing of him like, beep, 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 like firing the land cannons.
All right, yeah, that sounds great.
That's awesome. That's what
really
cool item.
That is really cool. It comes with an element of risk, which is quite
all of the best things.
Yeah, good. That's great. I pop
Maura
it.
Hands over.
Yeah, nice. I flick through. I admire the leather bindings and the wonderful words, and I imagine fantastic pictures.
It's a bit like, I guess, Pliny's book about antlions and everything.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I get exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Halfway between. Is there anything you want to look up straight away?
I'd like to know what those intellect devourers were and why they might be here, ideally. So, like, I want to get some more information about them. What was it, Laurie?
Not telling you.
Fuck's sake.
That's the joy of this item. You look up intellect devourers, you see a very accurate, as to what you saw, anatomical picture of this little... And now you see it up close and drawn properly, you see it's almost like a brain on 4 feet. Taloned feet.
So it's kind of like a head crab.
Very much like a head crab, Mr. Freeman. And
what's a head crab? Is that an actual type of crab?
Yeah. They're real crabs that come and they burrow into your head and they take over your brains.
It's about 2 foot high and then...
From Half-Life.
They're West London.
From Half-Life, there it is. West London.
Yeah, the more Ealing area. Yeah.
Very territorial. They stay very specifically in Ealing.
And what you'll come to recognise is Volo's typically florid style of writing. He says, yes, the intellect devourer, deadly puppet master, illithid creation, scourge of intelligent creatures. An intellect devourer resembles a walking brain protected by a crusty covering and set on bestial clawed legs. This foul aberration feeds on the intelligence of sentient creatures, taking over a victim's body on behalf of its mind flayer masters. Usually restrained to the Underdark, creating an intellect devourer by taking the brain of a thrall and subjecting it to horrible ritual is a process that no man should see. And as it sprouts legs, the brain becomes an intelligent predator, as twisted and evil as its masters.
That sounds pretty accurate to what we experienced.
Yeah, so. Sounds like it, but if that is accurate, that might mean that...
It sounds like the necromancer made them.
He made them, but to make them, that sounds like you need a mind flayer to be involved as well, and aren't they, like, fucking terrifying and big?
Yeah.
They're like octopus men.
They're not great.
Yeah.
They're like little Cthulhus.
Like little Cthulhus. Keep an eye out for some...
Mind flayers.
Little Cthulhus.
Can I look up Mind Flayer?
Yeah, sure.
This is now... The rest of the podcast is me falling into a Wikipedia hole.
I want to look up Zach.
No, I'm going to fall into a Wikipedia hole. It's like when you get to the bottom of it and you randomise. Or you like find a term you don't know. It's like, cool, find out what that is. Find out what that is.
It's a very cool item.
Okay, I've rolled my dice. You look up the page for Mind Flayer and you see a picture of a creature that looks a bit like a kind of, as Liam alluded to earlier, a kind of big squid head on a human body.
Right.
And Volo says, the Mind Flayers, coming from the deep darks of the ocean, are creatures sworn to their one true intention, and that is to populate the world with squid. They love squid. They can't get enough of them.
And it rambles on. This is the other type of description, isn't it?
And with my big, big muscles,
I once fought a mind flayer, also known as Illithid, and then we consummated our fight with love.
So is there anything pertinent on this page?
You tell me.
I think I've seen you reading that book and I'm like, oh, it's a classic, super classic, great book.
Cool. All right, well, that's useful. We know what we're kind of up against. So you reckon the necromancer did that?
Well, I don't know, just from what the intellect devourer sounds like, it sounds like something.
Yeah, but why would he create something that would be so hostile to his own house?
Well, because he's trying to work out
how
these
to move consciousness.
So to make a sentient brain effectively from a failed experiment or something like that that somehow freaks out and grows legs and runs around. It sounds like the sort of shit that happens in a building like this.
It does. It does. We are in a spooky castle.
Yeah.
We are.
Dracula's house.
Yeah.
Yes, delighted with your reaction to your present, Mora takes you back and says, yes, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but let me, young man, discerning taste, let me tell you about this staircase. And he starts leading you up this raw iron staircase and pointing out all the filigree work within.
I'm fascinated.
Mm, yeah. As you are. As you've done a very good job of appearing to be. Over to you, Glitch.
Hello.
Post Goose comes back and says, Master, I saw some books. I don't understand them. They're all very complicated. Come over and he shows you. This was the most interesting shelf, and points to you at a shelf of very dusty and arcane looking tomes.
I look through the shelf. I think I'm probably specifically looking for stuff pertaining to our situation, but also just spell books.
Okay. Give me a d20.
Lovely. That is a 13.
A 13.
Is it plus anything or is it just straight up d20?
No, straight up d20. All right, there are a couple of titles you can choose from. There's a very old book that says, And Guide to the World and its Planes of Existence, written in very old text. There's The Necromantic Arts, a primer. There's A History of the Kings of Fulster. There's My Year Yak Tending. And there's Myths and Legends of the Strail Islands.
If you don't pick up the yak tending book, I don't know what
podcast
to say.
Is over.
I, like, yeah, how could you possibly overlook that?
I'll go for it.
Because if I go for that, I might have an opportunity to actually learn something as a character.
I tell you what, I think given through Glitch's voracious appetite for books, he has a little flick through all of them.
Okay, cool. All right, that's good.
A Guide to the World and its Planes of Existence is a...
Clearly a Dutchman wrote it.
Yeah. written by Dampy, is a book that kind of delves into the relation of the planes of existence and how they all link together. It's all pretty mythological. But it talks about the material plane being the real world. It talks about the Feywild and Shadowfell being these two sort of reflections of the real world that exist above and below it. As Feywild, you know, is like the place what do you call them? You know, woodland spirits and those kinds of things. Whereas Shadowfell is the kind of like the underside of that, the kind of shadow of that. Yeah. All very theoretical. Around that, in a little bubble, exists the ethereal plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of beyond that, there are the elemental planes of air, water, fire, and earth, surrounded in elemental chaos and all bounded together with the astral plane, which is basically kind of filler. All around, empty filler, but where things like dead spirits go, as you've already established. Right. But it's all quite conjectury. And there is a chart, which I can show you, of how those all interact.
Cool.
The Necromantic Arts has a couple of things. Actually, we'll come to that afterwards. A History of the Kings of Falster has a few bits of information about the Caerleons, the last living monarchs of Falster, and their waning power in the island chain. It's all a bit dry and historical for you. My Year Yak Tending is exactly what it sounds like, written by the Duchess Kildrane, who's a kind of a country woman who goes to tend yaks instead of doing anything else. And Myths and Legends of the Strail Islands. After reading those letters with Vatic, you pick up on a mention of the Five in there. And it writes of the Five as if they are legendary heroes who, when their quest was done, disappeared into the mists, but who reportedly and, you know, legendarily have been called back into action throughout history to kind of save the Strail Islands in their hours of need.
Sick. Okay. Is Glitch currently aware of the existence of the Five from these letters? It wasn't in the one that he read, and I...
No, but it was in the one that Teddy read.
Yeah, I mentioned
as in, but you know, it was one that one of the letters that Vatic found.
The two of you have knowledge of the Five based on that letter and now this book.
Okay, sweet.
And finally, give me just an investigation check to see if you can make sense of the Necromantic Arts, which is written in strange symbols but makes sort of weird sense to you.
Sure. 14 plus 4, 18.
Yeah, okay, they do. A lot of this is stuff you've picked up, that you, Cassius, have picked up in Glitch's body.
Right.
About how to reanimate the undead, some things you've had a couple of goes at, summoning shadowy beasts. But it mentions, you flick to a page of this with this terrifying thing on it, which looks a bit like a big Frankenstein monster.
Oh, cool.
A stitched up beast. Oh, sweet.
Oh, sweet, lovely.
And it writes about how to make one. It writes about the processes involved. It also writes about some of the flaws in their construction, including a fear of fire, an innate fear of fire.
Okay.
That's something you pick up from there.
Are these books massive and I probably couldn't steal them?
I think...
Actually, I'll probably learn what I need to from that. Maybe I sort of... Maybe I rip out the page of the old Frankenstein book, but other than that, I'm pretty sweet.
Okay.
Although I'm going to keep walking around with a book about the Five because I want to show it to the others.
Okay, great, perfect.
Well, I'm still downstairs.
We're all downstairs. I'm slowly moving upstairs, but I'm learning about the stairs as I go.
Oh, I thought we were in the same room. Sorry,
we are all in the same room.
It's all a big library, and there's just like a spiral staircase.
Oh yeah, I meant as in Teddy is.
I'm slowly going up the spiral staircase.
Okay, cool.
But you can still, like, see him. But
yeah,
he's there, in front of you. Yeah.
In fact, like, if you want to, you look up, you see me. I'm literally bent down, feigning interest in a step.
Okay, cool.
Like, just the step.
Awesome.
And this step was where the master fell once a very long time ago, bumped his head, and thought he was the king of Waterdeep for some time.
And I'm just fucking, wow.
Wowzers!
This is the step.
What an adventure!
Oh my, yeah, oh my god.
So, sorry, that's reminded me of something, and I would like to start. But this is an absolute sidebar. I apologise.
Right. Okay. Oh, not a sidebar in this podcast.
Yeah. Humpty Dumpty.
Oh. Yeah.
Right?
He sat on this wall, right?
Yeah.
All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't fit Humpty together again.
Yeah.
Are they suggesting they're going to melt the horses down to glue Humpty?
No, they're not.
Oh, mate, what is... We've got to get off
melting
glue,
horses.
Guys, yeah, I mean...
No! No!
How else are the horses going to help?
I'm fairly certain that the phrase King's horses and King's men just refers to the number of like landed gentry and knights the king would have at his disposal, and then also his standard footmen. Rather than that, doesn't mean the literal.
You don't think that the horses are literally the involved literally, in the
reconstruction. Yeah, because you know what? Actually, they'd be rubbish at that. They'd like they'd try and pick up the eggshell with their hooves,
clopping all over it
with their hooves.
It wouldn't work.
Or maybe like the king's men use their hands to like actually reconstruct the egg, and then the horses are there for like aftercare, like you know, making to put him back together again.
Horses,
like,
giving
like,
yeah, no,
yeah, like yeah. mental, like mentally. No, heals, I get, and, yeah, like, no, I get that. Horses
are famously good at looking after unhatched eggs.
I think if you're a bit fragile of mind after an event like being split into 1,000 pieces and reconstruct, I'd quite like to be near a nice horse. I think it would sort me out a bit.
Have you? I mean, that's good to know, because like, if you're ever in trouble, I can get you near a horse. But
can
I think
you?
If I went through, anyone can. Dude, they're widely available.
They're always bigger than you think, horses, as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, God, what is that? what is that sentence?
No, I get what he's saying.
Whenever
though.
I see a horse, I have, without fail,
oh,
I go,
that's, oh,
fuck me,
that's, only,
that's so much bigger than it is
and
in
so
my
if
head.
And so if you've gone through some sort of psychological trauma, your go-to is to be near a nice but big thing.
No, I just think, it's not my go-to, I'm just saying it would
also,
probably help.
Also, that girl got like kicked in a horse, kicked by a horse the other day, and it just took her jaw off.
Man, well, I'd probably avoid that if I could.
I used to have a recurring nightmare in which a horse called Arnold trumpled my
trumpled?
Dad to death.
Bloody hell, Liam.
Yeah, it was horrible. We actually had a horse called Arnie at the time.
This is why you're obsessed with melting them. This is
you
your...
had a horse?
Yeah.
You had a horse? Hang on, what?
Yeah. I grew up on a farm.
What?
Did you?
In-game?
Yeah, in-game, yeah.
Fatik's Home on the Range.
What was the, what was the name of the farm?
That.
Well, I would rather watch that than Liam's Home on the Range.
Yeah,
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah. Anyway,
sorry,
that was a huge diversion.
So this
Humpty version.
So I'm learning about the five, and I've snaffled some necromancy pages for study later.
Yeah, and I've got a monster book.
Well, in fact, let's
And Liam's got a. What did you find again? I can't
spell.
Remember.
I got a spell.
Spells, the cantrip, yeah.
This has been like a loot room for
it
us.
It has been a loot room.
Yeah.
Also, the last episode was just us like fighting something. This episode was just us standing in a place.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned over doing 21 episodes of this podcast, so you guys need to be given
one thing.
You know, clear direction each episode. The what happens, I think Vartik and Glitchy pick up on Maura's guided tour for young Teddy as he leads you, Teddy, up these stairs eventually after the painstaking guide to them.
Nice.
And you're on a kind of a very nice looking landing that overlooks this beautiful library. And on this landing, you see there is a single door leading presumably up to more of the tower. Similar to the previous one, this kind of heavy wooden thing. But unlike the door to get into the library, there's no panel next to it. And Maura says,
I'm terribly sorry, young master, but I forget that this is one of those doors. The master is the way to his inner sanctum. He's very paranoid, and I have to admit I'm only allowed in there on very special occasions.
Like birthdays?
Yes, like my birthday, exactly.
When is your birthday?
Well, I only had one.
Oh.
We like to talk about... Are you here too, by the way?
Are you calling from downstairs? Yes.
When is your birthday?
Well, that's a... So you can't access... Is he in there?
Well, I as far as I know, yes. But it's you know, it's...
Maura, I've got a question for you.
He calls me up. You know, he has a little bell or
yes,
something.
Yes, I've got a question for you. Just something that's not occurred to me. We've been in this tower for weeks now. And I don't think we've yet established... When was the last time you saw the master?
Oh, a while ago.
Define a while.
10 years, give or take.
He's not fucking here, guys, is he? He's literally in the astral plane, isn't
he's
he?
He's in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
And he says, well, let me tell you about this.
And he points to a huge grand piano also sat on this landing.
He plays you a song. Let me tell you a little something, but bum, 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 bum.
If you want to be the master of the tower in here.
On the and on the piano you see there's a basket with a skeletal dog kind of arranged very nicely in the basket. And there's a little plaque underneath the dog, and he says, "Yes, this was Master's favourite place, and Persephone, his beloved pet, who used to love the sound of her master's voice. It was where he used to sit many a time. It brings back fond memories."
Did it look like Persephone was alive and has now since died and then turned to skeleton in the time that we've... Like, in the time that the master has not been around? Or is it like a reanimated dog?
You can have a look to see.
I feel like we're getting drawn into tangents a lot.
Nah, do it, man. Like,
yeah, fuck it. All right, I want to know what's going
Bone
on.
Bone dog.
You don't need to roll an investigation check.
Actually, this is just a general... I think we need to... We need to kind of get some sort of direction in it. Like, we've now... We've got to the point where we've got the wager going on. And we've only just realised that the astral mancer, like that necromancer, might not be here. How did we not ask Mora when was he last time we saw the master?
We did ask him.
Did he say 10 years before?
We already had that conversation. Yeah.
Fucking hell! What's wrong with us?
You go to look close, and you can see that this skeleton has collected a lot of dust. It appears to have been it looks like a dead dog, but you see underneath this little plaque, it says Persephone, and it says simply, "She loved to play dead."
Oh, that's a good joke. That's kind of sweet.
Touch the dog.
No.
Okay. Right. Are the two of you coming upstairs?
I think we're gonna touch it.
I'd like to investigate that wall that leads to the inner sanctum that has got no...
Yeah, you see, you head over and you see a very similar wooden door, maybe made of slightly more ornate wood, but there is no... Although it looks like it would, you can see there's a seam down the middle where it would open similarly. Yeah. There's not a kind of a servant's access button as there is here.
I knock.
You knock and you hear it echo the other side of the door, and you wait a second and nothing happens.
All right, I'm done.
Okay, I think I would like to try something.
Yeah?
This is going to be interesting. I'm going to sit at the piano, and I think Taryn's going to work out whether or not Vartek knows how to play the piano.
Cool, solid, helpful.
Wow,
what
is the piano check?
Sleight of hand, surely. Or performance?
Performance.
Yeah. All right. So that's a 15. So I can probably do chopsticks. That's cool.
What kind of thing would you be playing, a sea shanty?
No. I think I'd be trying to play I'd be playing like a nocturne.
Yeah, okay, so cool. as Taryn, well, as Votik sits at the piano and Taryn's mind tries to access some memory, you're suddenly overcome with this sight of sitting around with a family of rock gnomes, all looking very like Votik, all balding despite being varying ages, down to little children, and you see someone who looks very like Votik's, what you imagine Votik's father would look like, and he's playing this horrible, clanky, out of tune piano in this dirge, and all the other rock gnomes are kind of going along with it. And that's, I think
the
that's
description
the kind
of
thing.
The person sounded so much like Elton John that all I can picture now is like Elton John hammering away.
"Hold me closer, tiny dancer."
Ow. Excited and hit my leg.
Alright,
I'm gonna come up and investigate the dog. Very briefly. Just have a little talk. I think Glitch likes sort of bones and corpse and stuff. So
hello,
I think that's
little
totally
fellow.
Fair. Hello, little friend. And I sort of tap him.
Yeah, nothing
Does
happens.
Anything happen?
Nope.
Okay. Can you read me the plaque again, please?
"She loves to play dead."
I sit at the piano next to Vatic, and I join in with him.
Uh-huh.
Are you still playing?
Yeah, yeah,
still
yeah.
Still having a little go. I go, I'll do the top line. And... I play D-E-A-D on the piano.
As you play those four notes in quick succession, you hear something click inside the piano.
Bam. Oh, that is
and
so good.
And the wooden doors slide open and reveal.
Fuck, you turn into like Agatha Christie like the moment there's a musical puzzle. What the fuck is that? I knocked. But like you heard a clue at a piano, like banging.
going for it.
I'd like to make it clear, yes, I worked that out. In fiction, I think that's Glitch being like, and no, it's not that. Like trying to play along, like having always wanted to play piano, and love I think that. It's coincidence in there.
Nice, that's so good.
And the dark passage leading further up the Wizard's Tower awaits.